It is a known fact that everybody makes mistakes and fails even though they strive for success. Whether these failures are simple and humorous or very serious and depressing, we need to learn from our mistakes to better ourselves. It's very easy to dwell on failures and prevent yourself from learning, but what progress in life do you make when you do that? All successful people know that the road to your goals are lined with trials. It's very rare that you pass these trials the first time. Becoming a better person requires persistence because failure is evident. We now have a few stories to share about failures and how these people dealt with mistakes and overcame them. My name is Dominic Cognetti, and this is This Saratoga Life. Our first guest here today is Mimi. She's going to tell us about an incident that happened over the summer going into sixth grade. Can you set the scene for us?
It was a hot summer morning, and the humid air was really starting to get to me and my two best friends. That's when we had a brilliant idea, which quickly turned into disaster.
So what were you guys planning to do?
Anna, Brett, and I had always enjoyed jumping on Brett's trampoline, and this morning seemed no different from the rest. Brett was showing us her backflips, and I was showing them my front flips, and Anna was jumping along with us. Since it was such a hot day, Anna decided to go inside and get a glass of water. When Anna came back outside with the glass filled to the top, I immediately knew what she was going to do with it. And when she poured it down my back, I became furious. So Brett and I sprinted inside, and she gave me another glass to fill up and get back at Anna with. This cup had Spider-Man on it, and Brett noted to be careful with it because it was her brother's favorite cup. So then I filled the cup with freezing cold water and ran outside, splashed it on Anna. We went back and forth for a few minutes, and then Brett got the hose to join in on the intense water fight. Right as Brett was spraying Anna and I in the faces, I threw my hand holding the glass in the air to splash Anna, and at the same time, she did the same exact thing to me. Since we were dripping wet, we couldn't see clearly and didn't notice how close we were to each other. Our cups clashed together, and the glass shattered in both of our hands. Looking down at my bare hands and feet, I could see blood and the Spider-Man glass that Brett specifically told me to be careful with.
So what happened then?
Well, actually, it was a bad situation because my parents were out of town and Brett's parents were at Anna's house for brunch. Luckily, we all live in the same neighborhood, so they weren't too far. And in the meantime, Brett's next-door neighbor, Clark, saw what happened, so he ran over to help. He carried me and Anna inside and told us to rinse our hands and get the glass out. I had a pretty large cut on my thumb, and it most likely needed stitches. So when the parents got to Brett's, Anna's mom took me to the emergency room. It was a long day, but in the end, everything turned out okay.
Sounds like you had a pretty eventful day. What did you learn from it?
Well, I definitely learned not to have a water fight with glass cups, but I also learned that if you're with good friends, you're in good company, and to make the most of the situation.
Our next story comes from Molly, who did some research about a bad decision that led to a feathery disaster. Molly?
Now, I think we've all been at the park, and there'd be that one annoying bird, the one who had his eye on you and your picnic lunch, threatening to swoop in and take your sandwich if you turned away. We've done things like yelling at them, and they'd call back, probably swearing in bird language. We'd get up and shoo them off, and they'd give up. Now imagine that they wouldn't go away. Imagine declaring a war on that bird.
A war? Wouldn't that be a little extreme?
Well, take that one bird and multiply it by 2,000, then turn them all into 6-foot-tall, flightless Australian birds.
Emus?
Yes, emus. In the year 1932, Australian farmers were faced with a horrible infestation. 20,000 emus decided to call their fields home. Of course, they weren't into real estate or really money at all, so the farmers wanted them to go. They wouldn't go.
Is this where the angry mob comes in? You know, farmers with torches and pitchforks and everything?
Try the military, with machine guns. Yes, the farmers called in the military. Major G.P.W. Meredith of the Royal Australian Artillery was the proud leader of 2 regiments in what we could call Bird War I.
How did that turn out?
Emus proved to be a difficult enemy. During the first battle, the army had problems herding them together. Instead, they dispersed away from the bullets. Only a few were actually killed. Many more were shot, but like any tough soldier, they continued running. After another failed attempt, Meredith decided to mount a machine gun on the back of a truck.
Well, that doesn't sound like it went well.
It didn't. The emus easily outran the truck and led it over such rough terrain that none of the shots were effective. This chase was abruptly ended when the truck crashed through a fence. The army admitted defeat. The week-long Bird War I was a loss to the army. 10,000 fired rounds and less than 1,000 casualties.
Wow, that's disappointing.
I guess what Meredith had learned from this is that you can never underestimate anything, even birds.
Dane is here with another story about a mishap on his four-wheeler. Dane?
When I went with my cousin on his four-wheeler in his backyard through the woods once, we were on a trail and we kept hitting this little stump on one of the trails. It kept throwing us off track, nearly hitting the other trees. After the third time we had gone down the trail, we hit the stump again, and it turned to the right, and it hit our tree. The four-wheeler kept going, so it rode all the way up the tree, so it was on the back wheels. My cousin jumped off and flew over me. I thought it was going to tip, so I threw the stuff that was on my lap to the right and jumped back. But instead, a tree was right behind me, and so I hit my head on the other tree, and then rolled out of the way with my head hurting. The four-wheeler had ridden about 5.5 feet up the tree, and it was bent a little bit, and all the bark was taken off. The four-wheeler never ended up falling, so we had to take it down ourselves by breaking down the tree.
So how did you end up taking down the tree?
We were out there to pitch a tent, so we had an axe with us, and we had chopped it down.
So a little stump caused a lot of trouble that day, huh?
Yeah, we learned that if you mess up once, you'll probably mess up again if you keep doing it.
Interesting story. Now, I myself have a story that I would like to share with you guys that kind of relates back to the topic. When I was about 7, I had a bunch of friends over at my house and we were playing with our pool table. Of course, not regular pool, because that would make too much sense. I decided that we were going to make up a new game. Whoever could roll the balls at incredibly high speeds into the other side of the pool table while the other person blocks the balls with their bare hands wins. I know what you're thinking. Awesome idea for a game, right? So anyway, we got started, and everything was going great, until I decided that it would be a wonderful idea to get on top of the pool table to block the balls. Once again, an incredible idea on my part. Everything was going great, and I was winning, until I decided to roll a ball into another ball to block it. The ball that was rolled at me was in the air a little bit, so it bounced up and hit me directly in the forehead. I obviously felt the impact, but I didn't really see the ball hit me in the forehead, so I was a bit dazed and confused. I was looking around trying to figure out what happened when I lost my balance and fell off the pool table, hitting my head on the concrete floor of our basement. I have some of the best friends in the world, because they called my mom right away to get her down in the basement. That is, after they finished laughing at me. My mom came down and put some ice on my head to help with the swelling, but I'm not sure that that did a lot, because I had a giant egg-shaped lump on my forehead. It was completely disgusting and bruised and throbbing, and just all the horrible descriptive words you can use. So, I obviously was very embarrassed and didn't want to go to school, but that's not how it works in the Cognetti household. So I went to school the next day, which wasn't very fun. I was teased a lot by the kids, and I didn't really like it, so I was trying to stay home from school, but my mom didn't want me to. And as much as I didn't like it, it kind of taught me to think twice before making a potentially risky decision. At first, failures can be discouraging, but in the long run, they're not always terrible, because you can learn from your mistakes. Whether it's water fights, bird wars, four-wheeling accidents, or pool table disasters, there's always something to be learned from every situation. In the wise words of the once great Hannah Montana, nobody's perfect.